You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Well, we've been talking about going through the wilderness, and last week we talked about, you know, when Jesus shared the parable of the, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. And we talked about that process that when you're going through difficulties and God wants to do something new in your life, he's got to change the old wineskin, what you've done in the past, to prepare you to do something new. And that preparation process is really important that we walk through it. And so, you know, I always thought, and I shared this last week too, that I always thought that they just threw the old wineskins away and got new wineskins, but that's not what the process was. They'd actually refurbished the old wineskin. And so the first thing they had to do is they had to dump out the wine that was in them. And so, you know, Hebrews 12:1 says that in order to move forward, we have to put the wounds and the sins that hang on to us in our past in order to move forward. We have to put the wounds, and the Bible says the sin that so easily entangles us, that the sin could be different things to different people. It might be doubt, it might be fear, it might be worry, it might be rejection, it might be trauma from your past. It could be sins, and you're hanging on to the sin of unforgiveness. You know, whatever it is, whatever's holding you back, God said, I want to heal the wounds of your past and help you put the sins behind you so I can move forward. That's the emptying out process of the old wine. So in order to move forward, you gotta be emptied out of the past and put the past behind you. What did Paul write? He said, man, if I've learned one thing in my entire ministry, you're talking about a guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, that saw Jesus Christ more than once personally, had conversations with him, that was saved by an encounter directly with the Lord Jesus, said this, if I've accomplished one thing, I have grabbed a hold of this one thing. I put my past behind me and I pressed to the high mark of the calling of Christ. And so it's real important that when we're walking through the wilderness and we're going through these things, that we listen to the leading of God, because he wants to help you put your past behind you so he can do something new in your life. But you got to put it behind you. You got to allow him to heal the wounds. He needs your permission. He's not going to force it on you. You have to yield to it, and you have to want it. You have to want to be healed. You have to want to be delivered from trauma and tragedy and want him to heal your broken heart. You can't hang on to it and be healed at the same time. A double-minded man receives nothing from God. You got a purpose in your heart and say, God, I don't know how, but I know you can do it, and I'm going to surrender to you and let you heal the wounds of my past. And this sin that keeps holding me back and holding on to me, I'm going to allow you to help me and encourage me and empower me to overcome it. So that's in my past, not in my present or my future. So he has to dump out the new wine. Then they soak it in water, and we know that that's the soaking of the word. When you're walking through a wilderness, when you're walking through a test, a trial, a difficulty, man, the first thing you need to do is like, God, I yield to you whatever I need to put in my past and let go of. Let me help me to do that. And then how I'm going to process through this, God, is I'm going to go deeper in your word, not further away. And I'm going to soak in your word. I'm going to soak in your word until the next step happens, where you pull me out of that water and you pour oil on me, which represents the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to massage me and work out the bumps and kinks and stuff out of my body. And sometimes he comes as just a little sweet masseuse, you know, hey, I'll give you just a little nice massage. And other times the Holy Spirit comes as Hilda the destroyer, that puts elbows and puts their fist in knots. And so the Holy Spirit's got to massage you. And what's happening to the old wineskin is it's becoming pliable again, so that something new can happen and it won't burst it. God doesn't want to, break you. He wants to fill you with something new. But in order to do that, you got to go through this process. And then once you've put the past behind you. You've soaked in the water of the Word. You've allowed the Holy Spirit through His Word to minister to you and change you and make you pliable and teachable again and humble. And then He goes, okay, now it's time for the new wine. And that's when He pours something new and good and awesome into you. Something you've never experienced before. A level you've never been before. That's what He wants to do. He is a good God. And He has a good purpose for everything He does. Now, I want to show you in Scripture, you know, we always say two or three witnesses establish the thing. That's what the Bible says. So I'm going to show you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 up on the screen, please. It says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, everybody say a little while. A little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You notice he starts with greatly rejoicing. What we want him to write there is, in this you gripe and complain your way through. We want to gripe and complain our way through. Or question God on what he's doing, which is a complaint. Because what we're saying when we're complaining and griping during those times, what we're saying is, God, I have a better plan than you have. We'll read a scripture next week in Malachi where he addresses this very specifically when people are saying, what good does it do to serve you, God? The wicked are prospering and I'm not. Man, when you get your eyes on other people and you don't keep your eyes on God and you don't trust God that he knows better than we do, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. That's what happened to children of Israel 40 years walking in a circle. Pastor Troy, you've mentioned that many times. Why have I mentioned it many times? I don't want any of us to walk in a circle for 40 years and never God being able. He's not able to. It's not that he doesn't want to. He's not able to do something good in your life, something different in your life because you refuse. It's not a matter of him wanting to. He said in Jeremiah, he's got a good plan for all of us. It's a matter of us choosing to surrender to him and say, God, I trust your plan more than mine. And so it says, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, next verse, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Now, I want to give you a statement. You might have heard it before, but I want you to really think about it when it comes to this. And I'm going to ask you to say it a couple of times just so we remember it. That God wants us to choose purpose over pleasure. He wants us to choose purpose over pleasure. He wants us to choose his purposes over the pleasures of the world. That's why he said, put my kingdom first, I'll take care of everything else. But you got to put my kingdom first. That's choosing purpose over pleasure. That's what he's talking about right here. That what is about to happen in your faith, what is about to happen in your life is greater than gold, greater than pleasure, greater than what the world has to offer. And when we're walking through the wilderness, that's when we're really tested and tried, when we're going through difficult times, facing a mountain, facing a giant, walking through difficult moments of our life. We're tested what we choose. Do we choose the world, pleasure, and shortcuts? Or do we choose purpose and say, God, I trust you in this. I don't celebrate going through it, but I celebrate you in it because I know you're with me. I know you'll help me. I know you'll bless me. I know I'm going to come out on the other side of this, and it's going to be good for me, but not just for me. Let me say this to you. It's never just for us. It's to benefit many others, and we're going to see that here in a moment. Can you go ahead and put the rest of that verse up there? So he says, though it is tested, talking about your faith, it is tested by fire. Woo! Our faith is only tested by fire. In good times, everybody, man, I tell you, Dallas Cowboy fans, when they're playing good, they can do no wrong. All of a sudden, their owner now is the best owner in the NFL, and when they're losing, it's like, Jerry Jones don't know what he's done, and, you know, fire the coach, and they're terrible, and you know, when they're winning, they put two or three in a row. They're right back on the bandwagon, man. All the Cowboy fans are like, is it okay to boo in church? I want to boo. I want to boo Pastor Troy. Your faith is going to be put to the fire, Cowboy fans, for 20-something years. Some of you stuck by them. I give you some credit, man. You don't believe in them, but you're still wearing their jerseys and stuff. But though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Another translation is that verse says it's not only the praise, glory, and honor of God that will happen, but God said when you meet Jesus, he's gonna say, good job. He's gonna say, well done. He's gonna honor you because you passed the test. You chose purpose over pleasure. You chose purpose over pleasure. And that's vital. Look at the next verse, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says this. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. You notice that other one started with rejoicing and talking about trials and testing. This one's talking about tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. What is that? Endurance. That is endurance. You know, playing sports, I never forget my coaches that would just kill us at the end of practice. And man, we didn't like it. It was ugly. It hurt. But I'm telling you, in the fourth quarter, we were winning games. We're winning games. I remember my son played for Roswell High, my son Garrett. And man, coach had him running miles during spring. They had to run a sub 6-minute mile. And I mean, they were running mile after mile after mile and running. And I'd go watch them play. And at halftime, it might be 2 or 3 point difference, down or up. And then in the third quarter, they might be up 4 or 5. But by the last few minutes of the game, it'd go like from 4 or 5 to 40. They just blow them off the court because they had endurance. Hebrews teaches us, Hebrews 6 says, through faith and endurance, you inherit all the promises of God. See, there's some things you cannot inherit. There's some things God cannot do in your life until you pass the test of the wilderness. Until you build endurance, he can't do it for you because he's not going to take you to a place of blessing that you cannot maintain. And only endurance, only strength, only intestinal fortitude, only strength of spirit can hold you in place where God wants to take you and take you further. It takes patience. It takes perseverance. It takes endurance. They're all the same word. Can you go back to that verse, please? Next verse, verse 4. In perseverance, character, and character, hope. Man, when you grow in endurance and patience and endurance and you grow in that, you're actually mature. Mature people are patient. Immature people are not. Unfortunately for me, I've had some immaturity for a long period of time in my life. It took me a long time before I got patient driving. Before I wasn't almost in fights driving around town. It took me a long time to be patient with people who don't put their buggy up at Walmart. I mean, it's taken me a long time to mature to a place that I can just say, oh, you cut me off. You don't know how to drive. You pulled out in front of me. There's no one behind me. Just wait for me to go by and pull out and go 10 miles an hour. It's taken me a long time just to say, God bless you. And I had to train myself to say that. I didn't feel that on the inside. What I wanted to say was, man, they need a kick in the behind. That's what they need. They need a driving lesson. You know, that's what I wanted. But I just trained my mouth to say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And at first it was, the intention and the words didn't really match. They didn't match. If you interpreted my God bless you, it was really, you know, the kick in the butt and the driving lesson. But now, after a while, I just kept saying, now I generally, when I get to that point, I'm just like, you know what, God bless some men. I hope God protects them, takes care of them, and teaches them how to drive. But I really mean it. There's no sarcasm in it, even though it sounded like it. But guys, God has he wants to build endurance in us. And endurance produces a character, a maturity that, man, God wants to, that's where he wants to take us as a church, as a people, as believers. He wants to take us to this place of maturity where we're mature. And when you have those qualities, there's you have a hopefulness about you that there's nothing impossible. There's nothing that can, because there's always hope. And you become a hope dispenser. You become a hope. Man, you're around people and people are like, man, this is terrible. This is no good. I don't see how any good can come out of this. And you're like, hold on a second. I know my Father so well. I've lived life with him. I've done life with him through difficult times. I'm telling you, there's always hope. And in every, you become a hope dispenser. And that's what God wants us all to be, because it's not just about us, right? It's about those around us. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love others as you love yourself. Every blessing, every purpose that you have is not just for you. It's always to bless others. I love this scripture, Hebrews 11, chapter 24 through 26. Love this scripture about Moses. This is about Moses, chapter 11 of Hebrews. If you've never read that, read it. It's the what we call the Hall of Faith. And it talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse. Choosing, everybody say choosing. Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for we look to the reward. The reward where? The reward in heaven, the reward on this earth for honoring God. So the first step when you're walking through the wilderness and you're walking through tests and trials, and we know what comes with tests and trials is temptation. Temptation to choose the world. So the first thing Moses did was he refused. The first step through walking to temptation and Satan offer you, hey, take a shortcut here, take a shortcut here. Choose the world over purpose is to refuse the world. You have to first say no. No, I'm not taking that route. And it has to be a no that echoes in your heart, that it's no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not choosing that. No, I am not choosing the pleasure of sin for a moment over the purpose of God for an eternity. No. No. And this wasn't an easy no. He was a prince of Egypt. He had every vice, everything at his fingertips as a prince of Egypt. He had armies, he had wealth, he had women, he had everything at his fingertips that he could have chosen. And he said, no, I refuse the pleasures of the world because I choose the purposes of God. There has to be a no to the world. It's got to stop being an option. It's the burn the boats moment where, you know, when they landed in, I think in Central South America, Mexico, that area, that they burned the boats. They set the boats on fire, saying, there's no going back home. Our only option is right here, right now. You got to have a burn the boats moment where the world and its pleasures are not your first choice ever again, where that's not an option. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. I'm going to serve the Most High God. I'm going to fulfill his purpose for my life. And part of that is, guys, we have to set the example, especially to our children, to complement character over gifting. And let me, I talked to the men about this in men's prayer. We all talked about it, that a lot of times we complement gifts over character. Like, man, you're really fast. Man, you can jump. Man, you can play. Man, you're smart. Man, you can sing. I mean, man, we compliment all these giftings. And what we teach our children and what we teach each other is that gift is our own. And that's why you see so many people, I'm just going to use an example of the singing, the music industry. Like, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, all these great singers that started in the church, Justin Bieber, all these great singers that started in the church but sold out to the world because people kept telling them, you're so great, you're so great. And they didn't remind them constantly, that's a gift from God. Honor God with the gift you were given. And they complimented the gift, and now they equate the gift with who they are. That becomes their identity. And look at the tragedy of most of their lives. Because they didn't compliment character. We need to compliment more character than giftings in our children. What do I mean by that? Hey, I saw you be kind. Kindness is a character trait of the Holy Spirit. I saw you share. Instead of taking, you gave. Instead of taking, you gave. Because generosity is a quality of the Holy Spirit. Selflessness is a quality of the Holy Spirit. I saw you have courage. You had courage right there. Courage is a choice. Man, you showed great courage right here, overcoming your fear or standing up for someone that couldn't stand up for themselves. At the detriment to yourself, you showed courage. We need to compliment. You were polite. Politeness is a quality of the love of God. Young man held the door open for me yesterday. Man, when he held that door open, my grandma said, buddy, you're such a good man. Doing stuff like this, serving people. Man, that is awesome that you're a servant like that. And I looked at his parents. I said, you're raising a good man by teaching him how to be a servant. That's what you compliment. Michael Jordan didn't choose to be 6'6 and jump out of the gym and run a 4.340. He worked hard. He maximized the gift that God gave him. But he didn't choose that, because if he did, if we can choose that, I'd be dunking basketballs in the 70s like crazy. If we can choose to sing, I guarantee you I don't choose my voice. If that's just a choice. Or if I can start working on it at where I'm at now and sing like Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey or someone like that in a few years, if we can just work our way to that, bring it on. But we can't. That's a gift. If I could figure out how to do algebra 2, trigonometry, if I can just work really hard and I can just be really good at that, I mean, you can figure some of it out, but some people have a gift. I salute people with that gift. God bless you. I was in PE. That was my gift. I was doing good in PE, coach. I was your A student in PE. But people have different gifts. But we need to compliment character, and we need to build character. But it starts with us. It starts with us. Our identity needs to come from the character choices we make and choosing purpose over pleasure. Our identity needs to be in Christ, not with this world. Man, does the world need this badly or what? And we find those things out when we're walking through the fire. We find those things out when we're experiencing wilderness experiences, when we're in a trial, when we're being tested. That's when we find those things out. And God wants to use it not to defeat us. Satan wants to tempt us and defeat us. God wants to test us, and he wants us to make an A. And he really, to be honest with you, guys, when I took tests and I take tests, I want to pass it the first time. But unfortunately, a lot of times we choose to have to be tested because we keep failing. I want to encourage you, quit failing the trial test. Quit failing the testing test. Quit failing the wilderness test. Stop griping and complaining your way through it and start rejoicing in God that he's building endurance in you. He's building character in you. He's building hope in you. He's training your faith at a higher level, and that at the end of this, something really good. You're going to go from the valley of the shadow of death to the mountaintops where you're feasting in the presence of your enemies, because goodness and mercy from your Father will follow you all the days of your life. That's where he wants to take us. I love it that this principle of God is all throughout the Bible. David had to refuse the things of the world and choose the purpose of God. And how he did that was not by killing Goliath. None of those things, none of those battles he won were the test. The test was this. I love the Bible. It's so practical. So Saul, the king, is chasing David and his men trying to kill him. And Saul has to go to the restroom. That's it. That's the story. So he goes in a cave to go to the bathroom. And he's in a real, he has to take his sword off. He's in a real compromising position. And guess who's in the cave? David and his men, the guys he's trying to kill. And his men poke him and go, oh my gosh, that's Saul, David. Look, oh my, kill him now. Kill him now. Kill him now and take the kingdom. And you know David was probably like, no. God anointed Saul king. And because God chose him, God will deny him. It's not my job to do it. You know, so often when we have people in authority over us, we think it's our job to bring them down. Now, we have a vote, so we can do that with a vote. But at your job and stuff, a lot of times you don't have a vote. And we think it's our job to bring them down. Don't take it as your job. If God put them in that position, let God deal with them. And David chose right there. He refused the shortcut. He refused the pleasure of the world and taking the kingdom in that moment. He said, no, I will not touch God's anointed. That is God's, he's God's business. And he backed into that cave and let Saul go. That was the true test of whether he was going to choose the shortcut in the pleasures of this world over the purposes of God. And it wasn't shortly after that that Saul fell on his sword in battle. Not just Saul, but his son Jonathan, who would have been the next king. He died in that battle too. And God promoted David as the king. David chose purpose over pleasure. And then we get to Daniel. Daniel, who all he had to do was quit bowing down to God and worshiping God. Just had to quit. He knew that the spies that were setting him up for failure were following him around. That he knew they were perched in a position that they saw into his prayer room and where he was praying. And they watched him bow down and worship God in the morning and in the evening. And they watched him and he knew it. He knew it and he said, I'm not compromising who I am with God. I will not choose the pleasure of this kingdom over the purposes of my God, regardless of what it costs me. Regardless. And he got put in the lion's den. And we've talked about the lion's den before, but I want to remind you. Lion's dens didn't have two or three lions. Some of those lion's dens had hundreds of lions in them. But I don't care if it was one. But it wasn't just one. It was lions. It was many, many lions. And all they fed them was human flesh. And they craved it. And it was down in a hole. And it was pitch dark. How would you like to be lowered pitch dark in a place where lions that only craved human flesh were down there waiting for you, couldn't wait to devour you, and you couldn't see it even coming? No defense. But he said, regardless of what it cost me, I choose the purposes of God over the pleasures of this world. I will not worship anyone but the Most High God. And they lowered him down in that lion's den. And we know what God did. God had a plan. He sent angels to steal the mouth of those lions. Pulled him back out. And guess who got fed to the lions? The guys who put him there, who sent him there. They all got fed to those. Those lions ate. They didn't eat Daniel. And he got promoted even to a higher level. Because when you choose the purpose of God over the pleasure of the world, God will promote you. And he ministered and saved his people from a lot of harm because he was second in charge of the whole nation. Then we got the three children of Israel. Bow down and worship me or die. Be thrown into a furnace. That furnace was so hot, the guys who threw them in burned alive. When they put them in, they burned alive. It killed them. And the king said, if you'll just bow down, man, just bow down to me. I won't throw you in there. I don't want to throw you in there, guys. I like you guys. Just like he said to Daniel, I don't want to put you in lines. I like you, Daniel. But Daniel's like, I don't care if you like me or not. I refuse to not worship my God. I refuse to choose pleasure over purpose. And the three children of Israel He offered them the same deal. They said, no, I refuse. They said, we believe God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to you. We only bow down to our God. And they threw him in the fire. We know what happened. Jesus showed up in the fire. They came out of the fire. They didn't even smell like smoke. And guess who got promoted? And guess whose God got worshiped? Listen, he never puts you through these situations. And when you accomplish and you go through it with the right attitude, when you refuse the pleasure and the shortcuts of the world and you choose the purposes of God, it's not just for you. It's for the honor and glory of our Father and for people around you to encourage and strengthen their resolve as well. I think about Abraham. I think about Sarah. When she was 90 years old and she's going to get pregnant. 90. That is still one of the most amazing stories to me. A 90-year-old pushed out a baby and didn't break both her hips. That's crazy to me. But she refused the doubt and fear, just like Mary refused the impossible to believe God for the possible. She refused. She's like, I know it's impossible for me to be a virgin and have a baby, but God, if you said it, I refuse it. And I refuse to yield to the pressure of the world that's going to call me all kinds of names, that's going to think ill of me. My own engaged husband is going to think that I slept around on him, but I refuse the world and I choose purpose. Aren't we glad she chose purpose? And then we have to go to our Lord and Savior who owe it. Now, all these people didn't say no all the time. They didn't refuse. Only Jesus refused the things of the world to choose the purpose of God. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. We're going to read chapter 4, 1 through probably 8. If you can put that up there. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Next verse. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. I'll say it. I'm going to say it over and over again. When you're tested, when you're tried, when you're put to the test, there's always going to be a temptation. Always. Satan's going to try to take advantage of your hurt, take advantage of your situation, take advantage of tough times in your life to tempt you to choose him and the world over God's purposes. Always. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Next verse. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. He questions his identity, and then he tries to get Jesus to rely on himself instead of God to provide. That's what, guys, listen, I don't say this for any purpose of my own heart. I promise you. But for your sake, when you choose money over tithing and giving, you've made this decision. You think you can... produce more than God can produce. It's not a coincidence that this is a provision test. Who is your provider, God or yourself? That's the test right here over provision. Next verse. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by the provision of this world, but by every word of God. Amen. He quotes Deuteronomy. Next verse. We've talked about that temptation a lot. Let's go to the next one. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil is so arrogant, so prideful, so bold that he appears to Jesus Christ himself. If he's going to do it to him, oh, you bet he's going to do it to us. If he's going to tempt Jesus, he's going to tempt us. And he knows men so well. He knows men are visual. I'm just about done. Hang in there with me. He knows men are visual. That's why he showed him. That's why pornography is so huge. That's why the world is in your face about buy this, get this, choose that. Satan knows people are visual, especially men. So he shows him. He says this to him. He says this to Jesus. Next verse. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. Who delivered it to Satan was Adam. God gave it to Adam, Adam gave it to Satan. Jesus is coming to get it back. And he offers him a shortcut to power, a shortcut to authority. A shortcut. A shortcut. God doesn't do shortcuts. God's going to walk you through it. He doesn't do shortcuts. He'll put you on that super highway we talked about last week. He'll put you on the highway if you'll choose it. If you'll refuse the world and choose him, purpose over pleasure, he'll put you on the super highway. But he offers Jesus something he had to offer. It is his. Adam delivered it to him, I give it to whomever I wish. Next verse. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Power, authority, just worship's sake. Just worship's sake. Some of you know, some of you don't know, that a lot of people in the entertainment business and power and authority in our world, they have bowed and worshiped Satan, and he's given them what he has to give. He had a right to give. You have to understand, when Jesus came to the earth, the children of Israel were the only ones who knew the one true God, and they had rejected him. So all the nations, from the native tribes here to Central South America, India, Africa, the Orient, all of Europe, were all worshiping Satan, and he had total control over them. So what he offered, he had to give. It was a real temptation, and Jesus knew it. So he offered him provision. Let me provide. Take it in your own hands to get provision. Don't trust God. Now he's offering him power and authority. And when we choose the things of the world and we choose pleasure over purpose, it is us bowing down and actually worshiping the enemy by putting his kingdom first instead of God's. But I love our Lord's response. Next verse. And Jesus answered and said to him, listen, you can't let Satan do all the speaking and win. You got to speak back. He said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Purpose over pleasure. He chose purpose over pleasure. I was at the Dream Center all day yesterday, and two men that are helping us out kind of plan some things flew in from Texas, and one of them worked for a major, major company that does half transitional living for profit. They own multiple prisons in Texas, multiple transitional living places in El Paso, Corpus Christi, Fort Worth, Dallas area, Austin, and they're making millions off of prisons and transitional living for people. And one of them looked at me and said, "Do you know my boss? He would have paid you millions for this facility, 1.5, 2, 3 million. I mean." And I looked at him, I said, I wouldn't take $10 million because this place has a purpose that's greater than money. It has a purpose greater than money. And I'd already studied this out. Guys, I'm telling you, Moses chooses purpose over pleasure and leads all 3 million, a million to 3 million Jews out of slavery. David leads a nation for the glory and a whole nation to the glory and honor of God. Abraham births a nation. Sarah births a nation. Mary births the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, your purpose is tied and connected to ministering and blessing and encouraging and delivering and helping other people in your life. If it's just your family, if it's just your children, that you take them from this has been the generations of my family, no more. I draw a line, and not only for myself, but I choose purpose over pleasure because I want to see generations of my children honor, serve, and glorify God and go to heaven with me. We want to lead our nation back, no, not back, forward to where we should be. Our state out of here. It's going to take Christians, those who are blood-bought children of the Most High God, choosing purpose over pleasure. And God will call us to lead, to deliver this state, this nation, and this world for His kingdom, His glory, and we will be blessed for it. Listen, every eye closed here and online, thank you for joining us. We know you're watching. Thank you for watching. But right now, right here, whether you're online or here in this room, if you've never chosen to surrender all your life to God, He won't take anything less. He did not give anything less. How can He receive anything less? And I promise you, His holy blood, His holy life, His Godship, His divinity, He laid it all down and gave it for the ugliest parts of our life, for our sin, our rebellion, our evil that we've done. He laid it all down. He gave it all up to save us. He loves you and I that much. Will you listen to His voice crying out to you? He wants to save your life. But you have to make two choices: to refuse the pleasure of this world over the purpose of God. That doesn't mean everybody's a preacher or a pastor or apostle, whatever. It might mean that you're the greatest godly father your generations of your family have ever seen. It might mean that you're the greatest godly mother the generations of women in your family have ever seen. It'll mean that at work, at home, in your secret life, you choose purpose over pleasure. And God delivers generations of your family. Maybe generations of other people's families. Because those who give, those who serve here, you've not only chosen for your life, but you're making a difference in thousands of others. Just like my family has chosen, you have chosen. But Jesus surrendered His life and He said, listen, I did more than you could ever do, but I still ask you to surrender your life. So many people who I know, they say they're Christians, but man, they don't serve, they don't give, they don't honor God in their private, secret life. They're still partying, they're still doing crazy crap. Man, it blows my mind. I'm like, golly, do you not understand Jesus? Do you not understand the reward and riches He gave us in heaven? And no one's perfect. I'm not, you're not, but golly, we can be better than we are. But you got to let go of some of the world and choose God. And surrendering your life means that you're willing to grow and change as He leads you, guides you, instructs you. And that when you blow it, when you sin, you run to Him, not away from Him. That's surrender. That you start defining your real you, what you do in secret, what you think, what you do in secret, not just what you do in public. A lot of people can act right in public. But it's your secret life that really defines you. If you've never really surrendered your life, again, it's not about perfection. It's about reaching for that. It's about a choice you're making to say, God, I don't want to choose the pleasure of the world. I want to choose Your purpose. I want to honor You in my life. I want to walk in Your blessing so I can be a blessing. I want You to not only work in me, but through me. I don't want my children to have to fight the battle of alcohol. I don't want my sons and my daughters giving in to lust. They're precious. you're worthy of my life because they were worthy of your life. And I'm going to surrender. This is no games at Church on the Move. I don't want it. Man, I play games in the world. Let's not play them in the church. So if you've never chosen, hey, I'm going to give my life to Jesus and see what he does with it. I choose you, Jesus. I choose heaven over hell. I choose your lordship over surrendering and bowing down to this world and to the evil forces of this world. I choose you. If you've never done that, let's do that right now. Let's pray right now. Or maybe you've done it before and you've been enticed, you've been tempted, you fell for it. And you just need to come home. God celebrates you coming to his kingdom. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He wants to save your life. Whether it's the first time or you need to come home and you quit being the prodigal son or daughter and you're just like, man, I'm done with this nonsense. And some of you are in your 60s and 70s, maybe older. It's time to be done with it and say, okay, I'm going to spend the last years of my life honoring you, God. And when I blow it, I'm going to run to you. I'm never running away from you again. I choose heaven over hell. I choose worshiping you over worshiping the evil one. I choose life over death. I choose blessings over curses. I'm going to bless my family with my life, not curse it. Whether it's the first time or the next time, if you want to pray right now and get this right with God, he's a breath away. He's a prayer away right now. So I'm going to ask you to do two things. On the count of three online, I'm going to ask you to send us a note saying, I'm praying for the first time or the next time. In this room, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up high. Don't be embarrassed. Be bold. Say, I'm going to get right with God today. This is my day. I don't care what anybody else thinks, God. I just care what you think. This is between you and me. And then after you put your hand down, after they send that message, we're all going to pray together. All together. So here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand in here. Thank you. Praise God. You can put your hands down now. Wow, that's incredible. God's just so, so awesome. He loves you so much. Let's all pray now together. All those online and all those in this room. Let's all say this together. Say, God, today I surrender my life because Jesus, you surrendered yours on the cross for my sins. Your holy blood for my unholy blood. Thank you for paying my price. And God, you raised him from the dead, and Jesus is alive. And Jesus, you sacrificed your life to save mine. And because I believe that, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. And I surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ my life today. And I receive the Holy Spirit, and I thank you by your Spirit and by your Word. You teach me, you grow me, you change me, and that I live out the rest of my life for your purpose. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate the goodness of our God.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.